Blog Talk Radio.
Unlimited thrill, limited time. The L-Certified by Lexus Spring Collection sales event has arrived, featuring an unlimited mileage L-Certified warranty and complimentary maintenance plan. L-Certified was named the best CPO program by U.S. News and World Report.
For a limited time, get special offers on select pre-owned models.
See your Houston area Lexus dealer.
Not all customers will qualify. Offer ends May 31st. Time restrictions pursuant to L-Certified warranty and maintenance plan apply. See your Lexus dealer for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm so grateful that you are with us again with Mission from the Heart Radio. I thank you for your faithfulness. As I always say every broadcast, your faithfulness to the ministry, to the work of God's people, and faithfulness to Him and Him alone. And Lord, I just pray that we all become faithful witnesses to His call. So, again, thank you for your faithfulness to this broadcast. We are in for a delight. We are in for a treat, and I just thank God that He has been faithful to us, that we will remain faithful to Him. And we are to stand up and be a witness in prayer. Stand up and be a witness in our sharing, our testifying of the goodness of Jesus Christ. So we are going to look at part three in this teaching track, A Attitude of Prayer. So I pray and hope that you continue to look and listen to the last broadcast that we had in this particular teaching track, part one and part two. I tell you, it is rich for growth and development, and it is full of scripture that you will grow in your prayer attitude. So now we're going to be looking at the last point of this teaching track, An Attitude of Prayer. But before I continue, I would like to introduce two of my co-hosts today. And I thank God for their faithfulness and their obedience to the Holy Spirit in being a part of this ministry today in this teaching track. And my co-host that I've had in the last two broadcasts is Wanda Broussard. And we've got another sister with us today, and her name is Sol Reyes. So I would like for Wanda to introduce herself and just let us know, again, how prayer is so important to you, Wanda. And as soon as Wanda is done sharing, then we're going to have Sol to come and share her heart concerning what prayer means to her. So, Wanda, if you could just allow the audience to feel your heart concerning prayer.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, everyone. Hello. I'm Wanda. I just want to speak directly from my heart, and prayer is very important to me because it has given me a different lifestyle. It's made my day. It's like, for me, it's a refreshing. If I miss out on going before God and praying, it's like I have missed something in my day. So it's like I'm totally different. I'm off balance. So it doesn't matter if I'm going through something or I'm having a good day. I just go before God in my secret place, and I just maybe sometimes I may lay before Him and just listen to Him to speak to me. But in all things, I just trust God, and in prayer, my prayers are answered. You go before Him, it's effective. And that's the reason of the broad, of this three-part attitude of prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So if you would, just let us know a little bit about how or what prayer means to you and how important it is in your heart.
I have been a following of Christ for several years, but I have to admit that prayer is actually in the lowest part of my list every day. I struggle with prayer, honestly. But I realized that one of the greatest needs in the Christian community is for Christians to discuss, to discover and experience the privilege and power of effective prayer. And how we do that, it is very difficult when we are being pulled different directions, you know, every time we wake up in the morning and by the time we get home in the evening, we are so tired and prayer is not in our list, you know, we are ready to take our children to bed. We are ready to get ready for the night rest and getting ready to be refreshed for the following morning. And a prayer is kind of put under the blanket. But I realized that through prayer, the Spirit of God is being moved by a very strong prayer. For example, Christ spent much of his time praying while he was here on earth. And Christ to all of us, you know, that is given all authority in heaven and earth. Now he became our example. He intercedes on our behalf. And because of his example, we can highly conclude that the ministry of prayer is the highest calling a Christian can have. And we have to realize that through prayer, a vast reservoir of power, wisdom, and grace becomes available to us through prayer. And we have to realize also that not only prayer, but God speaks to us through the Bible, circumstances, and through other believers and His Holy Spirit. We must be persistent in prayer. The answer when it comes may be different than what we expected, and we must be alert to that possibility. And God frequently uses other people also to answer to our prayers. Like for example, situations, the answer must come from, sometimes the answer of our prayer must come from within ourselves. And persistent prayer will help us find the answer. And we may need to have a new attitude or a different way of looking at this. Or we may make amends with someone before God can answer our prayer.
Yes. And so I thank you so much for sharing that, because a lot of with what you had indicated, as well as Wanda has indicated, brings us right into our lesson today. You made mention of attitude, and I tell you, the lesson is truly a delight. So I pray that those of you who are listening to the broadcast today, I pray that you would get your Bibles ready or your tablets and have pencil and paper ready to take notes concerning the rich nuggets of God's Word. And this is my intro to this lesson today, to part three. And listen to what it says, and listen to what the call or the question is to you. What does prayer mean to you now? Now, throughout these teaching tracks concerning an attitude of prayer, we've been asking the question, what does prayer mean to you? And just as I asked Wanda, and then just as I asked Soul, now the question to you is, what does prayer mean to you now? And I use the word now because I pray and hope that you would either go back and listen to part one and two, and you will understand why I asked the question, what does prayer mean to you now? This question has been asked, of course, throughout the lesson, but by now it should be a priority in your prayer life. So Wanda and Soul and I are going to conclude this teaching track looking at the last point, continual prayer. So for you note takers, make sure that you put at the top of your paper, continual prayer. And our reference scripture, or should I say our foundational scripture, is 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to focus in on verses 12 through 28. And so these are the three points, if you would make note, for this last point of the teaching track, an attitude of prayer. So the three points are going to be as follows. Point one is power of prayer. So if you could make note of point one, power of prayer. Point two is effective prayer, or prayer is effective. Either way is fine. Effective prayer. And point three is testimony. Or you can use the word evidence. Testimony or evidence. So those are the three points: power of prayer, effective prayer, and the last point is testimony or evidence of prayer. Let's look at the foundational scripture, if you will. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have Soul enlighten us and look at scripture concerning point one, and that is power of prayer. And she gave us a beautiful intro already, and she's going to bring out the richness of how prayer is powerful through the Holy Spirit. And then Wanda is going to bring out the richness of point two, effective prayer. And then I will look at point three as the testimony, as the evidence through prayer. So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5 and look at verse 12, if you will, and we're going to read through 28. And it reads this way. Now we ask, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now, I just believe this is so beautifully written to the body of Christ, as we have been commanded in final instructions to the believers or to the Church of Thessalonica, that we are to rejoice always, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of our tests, our trials, our fears, our worries, our stresses, our anxieties, regardless of what may be upon you at that particular time. We are to rejoice. And yes, it is hard, but with every might, we are to rejoice and continually pray. This is what verse 16 calls us to do. Rejoice always, pray continually. This is our part 3 point, continual prayer. Give thanks in all circumstances, regardless of how it feels, regardless of how you may think about it, just do it. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is his will for us as believers in Christ Jesus, as Christ followers, for us to be praying continually, no matter the circumstance, giving thanks and rejoicing. And when the Holy Spirit says, pray, we are not to quench the Spirit. We are to yield the Holy Spirit in verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not is what it says. Obeying the Spirit to pray for others, to pray through a circumstance. And in verse 23, in verse 21, we are to test certain prophecies that come to us. In today's time, we may have others coming to us. Now, when I mean others, we may have other believers coming to us and making comments or saying certain things to us that may not be 100% biblical. And Scripture tells us to test them all. Test the Spirit that is coming to you. Hold on to what is good. And I like to think of it this way. Chew on the meat, spit out the bone. Chew on what is good. But it says reject every kind of evil. Reject it. Even in our continual prayer life, as we should be now, as prayer being our priority at this point, growth has taken place over time. And now we've got a prayer life that shows passion, that shows power of God coming through you in your prayer life, that shows effective prayer, that the testimony, the evidence of your praying will show forth. Again, test and hold and reject. And then in 23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. These are charges to the body of Christ. As we look at this particular verse, it's a call for us to pray for the body, build up the body, the weaker. Some of us have become idle. Some of us are even disruptive in our walk. Some of us encourage the disheartened. Some of us don't even want to help the weaker ones, and I'm talking about the body of Christ. But for those of you who may not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, then you may not fully understand where the Scripture is coming from. So before I move forward with Saul bringing us the first point and Wanda bringing us the second point, I want to stop right here, right now. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you would touch and agree with us that we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who may be listening to this broadcast, because it would not be fair or right for us to assume that everyone who listens to this broadcast is saved, has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I want to ask Soul if you would pray a prayer of salvation, sister, for those who may be listening today that may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. So if you could pray a prayer of salvation, and if those of you who are listening, pray for someone that they would intercede for them, that they would come to know Jesus. And so praise a prayer of salvation. Lift them up in prayer that they would walk new in life. So if you could do that.
Sure, my sister. Oh, Lord Jesus, we know that you are listening to our conversation at this very moment. You know who are listening, and you know the heart of its listener. Oh, we pray, oh Lord, that each of the listener who hasn't known you yet, that you have not met him yet, I pray that that person will just surrender his life. And anybody who would like to commit their lives to surrender to Christ, you can follow me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I accept that I am a sinner, and I accept that I am weak, that I need a Savior because I cannot save myself. I am drowned in sins, oh Lord, and I just want to turn my life around. I repent my sin, oh Lord, and I just want to commit my life to you. Oh, Father, forgive me all my sins. At this very moment, O Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior and Lord. And this very moment, on forward, Father, Lord Jesus, you will be my Lord and you are my Savior. Teach me to grow in you, Lord Jesus, and just connect me to the right person who can lead me and make me grow in spirit and in truth. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray this in confidence. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister, for extending the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. And I just encourage you to get into a Bible-teaching church, a church that you can be discipled in and be baptized and submerged and go down and come up a new person and just saturate yourself in prayer and that others would know that you are now a Christ follower. So amen and welcome to the family of faith and being a witness, a faithful witness of Jesus Christ so that you can grow and go in grace. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Soul for doing that. So now we're going to continue in our walk through the scriptures. So as we've read through 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to now look at one other scripture that just lets us know how important prayer, continual prayer is. So if you could move over to Colossians 4, and we're going to look at verse 2 through 6. Colossians 4, and we're going to start at verse 2, and we're going to read through verse 6. Now, I would like to read this. Wanda, if you would read 2 through 6, and then I'm going to come behind you and read it in the New Living Translation. But if you would read that.
Colossians, verse number 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
I like what it said in verse 2, devote yourself. commit yourself to continual prayer. And I like that, being watchful and thankful. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation. Devote yourself in prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Don't forget to pray for us, too, that God will give us opportunities to preach about his secret plan, that Christ is also for you, Gentiles. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and effective, so that you will have the right answer for everyone. Amen.
Amen.
So much in this particular passage or these verses popped out when I read these verses. And I hope it did the same thing for you when it said, pray, live wise among those who are not Christians. Verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward others. And that is so important for us as children of light, to be wise, meaning let your conversation be gracious and effective, so that you will have the right answer for everyone. Sometimes we can get caught up in situations or conversations, should I say, that are not godly conversations, joking in senses that may allude to things that are not morally right. And we have to separate ourselves from that when you find yourself getting caught up in the midst of that or entertaining in it. And it's so important for us to be alert in mind. So that means we have to pray for ourselves as well as others, because it's so easy to be submerged in things that come so subtly. So this is encouragement for prayer, that we have to keep watch, be mindful, and have a thankful heart. So if you would focus on point one, concerning the power of prayer, and share with us scripture, and repeat them for the ones that take note, and share with us the scriptures that may come to your heart or that you may have made note, and express to us how powerful prayer is as a mature believer in Christ Jesus who has an attitude for continual prayer.
Sure, I'd be glad to. But first of all, when we pray, we have to pray with confidence. And we need to pray seeking God, his face, continually. I can share the First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, that says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. And I said, pray with confidence, abide in his word, ask, believe that he is going to grant your prayer, and be ready to receive his prayer. The power of prayer, a lot of people have underestimated the prayer, much more the power that comes with it. Can your prayer be more powerful? And I would like to share James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. It says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah is one of the examples. He was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, fervently, that it would rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again, he persistently prayed. Fervent prayer. He did not give up in one prayer. He persistently prayed for the rain. And again, and the land was with rain. It produced its crops. God, this is our lesson. God most definitely listens to prayers. He answers prayers and moves in response to prayers. When Jesus was here on earth, he said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing possible with God. How do we tap into this? The power of prayer is not the result of the person praying. Remember that. Rather, the power resides in the God who is being prayed to. I would like to repeat that. Power of prayer is not of you, me, praying. It is rather the power resides in the God who is being prayed to. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, it tells us that this is the confidence we have in approaching God in prayer, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that we ask of him. No matter person is praying, the passion behind the prayer or the purpose of prayer, my friends, God answers prayers that are in agreement with his will. His answers will not always be yes, but are always in our best interest. When our desires line up with his will, we will come to understand that in time, purposefully, according to God's will, God responds powerfully. Also, I can share in Mark chapter 11, 24, God will answer our prayer and give us everything we need and more. We need and more. God answers prayers requests again in his own way, in his own time, and will not grant requests that are against his holy and wise purpose. And those prayers that are selfish in nature, that are not in our best long-term interests, those of impure motives, I doubt that God are going to answer this prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Soul, for sharing those points of power in the verses. And as you were sharing those verses and the chapters, I was making note of everyone, and I encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would make note of those particular verses. And just as she said, the power resides in him, and that's capital H-I-M, God the Father, Yahweh God. He is the power. We are his instruments. We are the ones he uses for the power of his mightiness to come forth. But with fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous is what avails much. So I want us to continue to move through this lesson with our second point being effective prayer. So if Wanda, you could go ahead and share with us concerning this particular point on how prayer is effective in our continual prayer life.
Okay, sure. I'm going to come from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. And then I want to go over to Galatians, to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse number 9. And it tells us, let us not become weary in doing good. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And the point that I got from, as I read in Daniel, Daniel continued to pray three times a day, even though it was against the king's will to pray at all. Everybody was told not to pray. But Daniel knew prayer and what he was facing would be effective. So he didn't consider what the king had said. He didn't care about the threat of death that was placed upon him about not to pray. He continued to pray. And that let us know that even though we may not see results, as Sister Saul says, just continue to do it. And it may not seem things like things are not happening, but they are. And the more you do it, the more effective it becomes. And before you know it, things that you have prayed for before will start materializing itself. Because Daniel had that determination. Daniel had that, like, you know, I'm going to do this. I have always done it. I'm going to continue to do it. I don't care what the king says. He didn't get weary in it. He didn't stop. He didn't slack. He didn't say, let me take a break today and do it one time today, and maybe I'll do it twice tomorrow. He continued three times a day to go before God in prayer. So that's how we have to do as believers. We have to continue to pray. And it's powerful. And it's going to be effective. It will be effective. We just have to trust and believe that as we're doing it and we're becoming comfortable in it, God hears our prayers, God knows our needs, and we will meet our needs. And it might not come as you expect it, but God will always respond to our prayers, always. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is so spot on when and you can tell that Daniel was a man of obedience. He obeyed at all costs. He did not care about the persecution that may have came against him, and we knew the persecution of his disobedience to man's law, but obedience to God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. And of course, we know the outcome of that. And I like to think of it this way. God used that lion to be a pillow to his head. So even in the midst of our fear, as we've read, rejoice always, continually pray and give thanks. And I love what it says, in all circumstances. So when they say we can't pray on the job, well, even in verse 22 in 1 Thessalonians 5, it did say reject every kind of evil. So what God says yes to, the enemy will try to bring opposite of that. So when schools say we can't pray, I teach mine to pray effectively in the midst of what they say we can't do as believers. Obedience is better. And you pray in the manner that the Holy Spirit empowers you to pray. Whether you pray standing up, sitting down, laying down on your knees,
or with your eyes open, just pray. There's power in the prayer. There is effectiveness in prayer with a whole heart, as Daniel demonstrated. And then, as Wanda had indicated in Galatians 6:9, don't be weary in well-doing, because you'll reap the benefits of that. And that's what brings us to our third point, the testimony of prayer, the evidence of prayer. Because of our prayers, Saul made mention, I believe, of we may not get a yes all the time through our prayer life or in our continual prayer. But as Wanda indicated, through Daniel, we persevere. We continue. We press in with our prayer. And we pray continually. And we pray without ceasing. And let's look at Matthew 7 and 7. And it reads this way. We're familiar with this verse in Scripture concerning effective prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? That's the question. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, you know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who seek or who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So in our prayer life, we keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. This is the understanding. This is the principle in this passage. That you keep on, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. Now think about it this way. For those that we prayed or extended Jesus Christ to them, as Saul prayed the prayer of salvation, Jesus said, ask, I will give myself to you. He did that on the cross. He gave his life up on the cross. Evidence on the cross. Testimony on the cross. Ask, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Seek his face in the looking. Seek, draw into him. Become a one-on-one, meaning you in Christ Jesus, in devotion. Seeking and looking for him, and then knocking and the door will be open. He will lay opportunities for you to witness, for you to be a witness, for you to share Jesus Christ with some lost soul, or to be an encouragement to a weaker brother or sister in Christ, for you to build them up in a circumstance that they do not know what the outcome is going to be. But through your joy, through your rejoicing, they receive rejoicing and joy. I love what it says. Keep on. In this particular passage, Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Now we're going to look at Psalm 95. So if we could move over to the Psalm. And we're going to start with verse 1 in Psalms 95, just solidifying how evidence and testimony, or evidence or testimony of our prayer. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And this gives us the opportunity to exalt him when we are in continual prayer. And through our exaltation of him, and as we lift him up in song, in prayer, in rejoicing, giving him a hand clap of praise, the evidence of our prayer will be noticed. It will be seen. Now, I do want to make this point before I continue, that we can pray, and sometimes we get yes, sometimes we get no. It's all according to God's perfect will. But for those of you, or for those of us who pray as a lifestyle, and this is where we're trying to grow to, because we made mention last teaching track that prayer should not be the last thing we do, but the first thing we do. It should be priority now. But we can plant seeds of prayer. Others come through and water seeds of prayer, and there are those who will see the revelation of our prayer. We may not see it. And let me give you an illustration. So many grandparents have prayed for their grandchildren, prayed specific prayer for their grandchildren, especially that wayward one. And they would pray and intercede and with passion and emotion for that wayward child. And as the prayer went forth and grandma or grandpa has gone on to meet the Lord, they did not see the evidence of their prayer for that wayward grandchild. But others got to see the evidence of grandma or grandpa's prayer. prayer for that wayward grandchild. So in the midst of our prayer, whether we live on this side of heaven or whether we are in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our call is to continue to pray, whether we see the evidence or not. And I wanted to make that point because I know this happens. We pray for others in other countries. We pray for Israel. We pray for the way or the chaos of this world that we live in. And sometimes it just appears as if there's no hope. But we don't lose hope. We continue to pray, just as Daniel did, at all costs. And all through the scriptures that we've shared and went through today, it tells us to continue. So, we are to pray with boldness. Boldness. And that builds up our character when we persevere. God calls us to follow him with effectual, fervent prayer to build up each one of us. It transforms us from the inside out, that the fruit of the Spirit would show forth. The joy, the love, the peace, the patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control is what comes out of us through our prayer life. Anytime we make prayer a priority in our life, we will receive opposition. Opposition of the evil one. He wants to shut us up. When prayer was going forth in school, here he comes saying that it's not allowed. But we are to obey God through the Holy Spirit and stand with boldness that we not cower back, that the evidence and the testimony of the righteous will be witnessed. And I just can't express enough on how Jesus, when he walked down the road of Calvary to that cross, he prayed for us in his agony. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for us. And the continual prayer that he exemplified, even in his pain, is what gave us eternal life. As a believer, as a witness, the gospel must go forth in prayer, as a witness, in our lives, through our lives, treating others as we want to be treated. The testimony of the righteous, the evidence of prayer, was exemplified on the cross by Jesus Christ himself. I just want us to remember how important prayer is as far as the attitude is concerned. It must be priority in the saint's life. And we have fallen off with that as a priority. It has to be a lifestyle. You have to develop it. And then it becomes continual. First things first. Stop, drop. I just want to thank my co-host, Sol and Wanda, for helping me bring this point out in an attitude of prayer and focusing on continual prayer. So if you could, if you had a few comments that you may want to make in just wrapping up our teaching track for today.
Sure, actually I do. I just want to remind our listeners that the Word of God is full of accounts describing the power of prayer in different situations. The power of prayer has overcome enemies. It conquered death. It brought healing and defeated demons. God, in his mighty power, through prayer, he opens our eyes. He changes our hearts. He heals wounds and grants wisdom. And the power of prayer should never be underestimated. There are no secrets in prayer, but some suggestions I would like you to have is that base your request on God's character. Just pray like you know God will answer you. Just pour out all your feelings, your concern, your heart, and your soul, and just cry out to him. And confess your sins, the sins that you can't remember. And most of all, is claim the promises of God. And lastly, be specific in what you ask for. And at the end of this program, I just want to ask you, what do you think? What do you think of this program? What have you learned? What is the take-home message as you go to bed tonight? I just want to remind all of us that we have all sinned and deserve God's judgment. God the Father sent his only Son to satisfy that judgment for those who believe in him. Jesus, the Son whom he loved, the only Son, the Creator and eternal Son of God, who lived a sinless life, loves us so much that he died for our sins, yours and mine, taking the punishment that we deserve. He was buried and he rose from the dead, according to the scripture. If you truly believe and trust this in your heart, receiving Jesus alone as your Savior, declaring Jesus is my Lord and my God, as we have prayed earlier in this program, I can assure you, my brothers and sisters, whoever is listening to this program, you will be saved from judgment and spend eternity with God in heaven. What a beautiful promise.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much for sharing those last points of power. And Sister Wanda, I would love for you to do the same.
We have to know that in this three part, there was development. There was lifestyle. The development gave us growth. The lifestyle is intimacy that we started to have with God. Being continual in our prayer, going before him, in our secret place. As Minister Smith said, it doesn't matter whether you're in your car or you're sitting at your table or at work. It doesn't matter. It's just that if you continue, and then we focus on the attitude in prayer, and we talked about how, you know, to, you know, still confess your sins and not being bitter, but, you know, just go before God just honest as you can, just being, showing God who you are. Don't be a phony. Always be serious when you go before God in prayer, because God knows your heart. Maybe your friends or family may not know your heart, but God knows your heart. And then there's a priority. Make it a priority that you do this continually, daily. It's something that you just add. It's a saying that if you do something 21 days, it'll become a habit. But listeners, I'm asking you to start doing it 21 days every day. before you start your day to go before God in prayer and watch things start to change, watch things start to develop, your situation and more peace, or you'll see a difference. Whatever God choose that way to be, you'll see the difference in it. And then we had the power prayer. We know the when you pray, it is powerful. It is a powerful thing. It's beyond anything that you could ever expect. It is powerful. And it becomes effective. Because as I read in Daniel continued to pray. And as Minister Smith pointed out, the king took him and put him in the lion's den. But at the end, that king had to come back and submit and ask, and he had to ask God for forgiveness. But it's a testimony for us as we grow in God and we grow in our prayer life and we build on that attitude, then it becomes a testimony for us as witnesses, as Christians, as servants to display this to other people or to family members or coworkers. It becomes a testimony for us as it has become a testimony to me. Because I am growing daily. I am growing daily. You never stop growing. You never stop learning things. It doesn't get to a point where you have learned. You have came to the end of the road and there's no more to learn. Every day there's something to learn. And I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to grow. But I know that prayer has helped me to become who I am today. It has helped me to become the woman that God knew all along that I would become. And so I just thank Minister Smith for the opportunity to speak, the opportunity for myself as well to learn. And I just praise God for his gratefulness, his faithfulness toward us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I am, again, grateful for my co-laborers in Christ Jesus to go into the vineyard and work. And I tell you, this is what we are doing in this broadcast. We are expanding or exposing the Word of God, unpacking it and looking at it and allowing it to breathe on us. Then we expound on the Word of God when we explain how the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, teaches us and grows us in grace and draws us deeper and deeper into Jesus Christ. And then we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him. So for your faithfulness, thank you. And for your prayers, please continue to pray for this ministry as God grows the ministry, that we continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they do fade away, but the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you. Remain in his grace, but most of all, make prayer your priority. Thank you again for this broadcast, for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, and God bless you.
Hurry in to Macy's newest shopping experience. Macy's Backstage opens Saturday inside Macy's Pearland Town Center. The first 200 customers score a Backstage scratch-off card with the chance to win up to $25 off your Backstage purchase. Join us for music, food, giveaways, and get a free Backstage tote with any purchase all weekend. Macy's Backstage opens on the first floor inside Macy's Pearland Town Center, Saturday, April 14th at 10 a.m. Details in store. Visit macysbackstage.com. Hurry in to Macy's newest shopping experience. Macy's Backstage opens Saturday inside Macy's Pearland Town Center. The first 200 customers score a Backstage scratch-off card with the chance to win up to $25 off your Backstage purchase. Join us for music, food, giveaways, and get a free Backstage tote with any purchase all weekend. Macy's Backstage opens on the first floor inside Macy's Pearland Town Center, Saturday, April 14th at 10 a.m. Details in store. Visit macysbackstage.com.